Hebrews, chapter number 11. Of all things, we're studying faith. We began last week in verse 1. This is, I identified this to you last week as the Faith Hall of Fame. Like, if you want to go to the National Football League Hall of Fame, where would you go? Canton, Ohio. Most everybody knows that Canton, Ohio is where you go. If you want to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame, where would you go? Cooperstown, New York. Is that not it, Cooperstown? If you want to go to God's Hall of Fame, where would you go? Hebrews 11. Right. That's right. Hebrews 11 is where all the monuments are to the faithful men of God. And I tell you, any day that you have difficulty with your faith, you need a little something to prop your faith up, you just go to the Hall of Fame and remember all the touchdowns that Joshua scored. You remember all the home runs that Gideon made, you see, and that will encourage your faith in the Lord. Now, we talked last week about the first verse there where Paul described what faith is. And he said that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we saw that while you can't, if you're operating in faith, you are not seeing your answer yet. If you are seeing the answer, then you don't need faith because the answer is your evidence. Is that right? If you are believing for salvation of somebody in your family, if the person has already been saved, you no longer have to believe for it, do you? Because that person's salvation is now your evidence. You have physical evidence. And if someone said, well, how do you know he's saved? Well, listen to him and you hear Jesus spilling out of his lips. That's your evidence. That is your testimony. That's your proof. But if he's not saved yet in the natural, in other words, if he's not manifested that salvation yet, what is the evidence you have of his salvation? Your faith. I believe. That's my evidence. My faith is my evidence. Now you remember this, that faith is a matter of the heart. Faith is not a matter of the head. It's a matter of the heart. Tim shared about this contract that it was reported that they had lost. But in his heart, what was it that produced that peace in there? Faith. It produced that peace and that rest, and he knew that it was all right, even though everything he could see said otherwise. Faith is the evidence of what you can't see. You understand how that works? Hebrews 4 and 3. We talked about that last week, I believe. He that believeth hath entered into rest. How do I know that I really believe? How do I know that I really have exercised faith? How do I know that I'm not just hoping or wishing, but that I'm really believing? You have peace in your heart. You'll have rest in your heart. You will no longer be concerned. It doesn't mean disinterested, but unconcerned. Do you understand the difference between disinterested and unconcerned? It's not that you're disinterested, but you're just unconcerned. You no longer have any more anxiety about that situation. You have no more any concern about it. You're not bothered about it anymore. You don't have to have people praying with you anymore. Even though everything looks like it's going to the dogs and it's about to explode any minute, you know on the inside, because you have the evidence, your faith is the evidence of what you can't see. You can't see the answer yet, but you know inside you that answer is coming. Okay.
I was just going to say, isn't it during this time that Satan tries his hardest to make things look the worst?
Yes.
Things can look like God's really answering, he's moving, and he's just fixing to receive it, and then also, oh, it's all fell apart.
Right. All the bad reports, all the evil reports, that's the time that he'll work the hardest, when it's about to come to pass. It's like just before the calm comes the greatest storm. And what he's trying to do is to steal it from you by stealing your faith. What he's after is your faith. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. out of your heart flow the issues of life. Faith is a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of the head. It's a matter of the heart. Now, you can have a situation like this, where you are believing God concerning a certain, concerning a specific prayer that you have made, a specific need that you have. You can be believing God in your heart, and your mind can be bombarded with doubts. As long as you do not allow those doubts to remain in your mind, but you continue to refuse them and cast them down and don't allow them. You see, if you allow them to stay in your mind, then they'll come right down into your heart and they'll steal your faith. You remember that the devil is a thief. The thief cometh for to steal. Doubt is a demonic activity. It's a thief. Doubt is a thief. Fear comes from the devil. Fear is a thief. Confusion comes from the devil. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You remember those scriptures? Confusion comes from the devil, and the devil's a thief. Therefore, confusion is a thief. If you allow doubt, fear, confusion, and all other similar activities to lodge themselves in your mind, they are thieves. And they will rob you of your faith. And so you must be careful of those things when they come. Jesus said in Mark 11:23 that if a man speak to the mountain and say unto a mountain, be thou removed, and do not doubt in his heart. Not mind, heart. You see, the devil cannot put doubt in your heart. He puts the doubt in your mind, and you allow it to go into your heart. The devil cannot put it in your heart. He puts it here. He puts it here. Now, if you'll deal with it here, then it'll not trouble the faith that is living in your heart. Now, how do you separate the mind from the heart? What separates that which is soulish from that which is of the heart? The Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is quick, living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's what that means. It's the Word of God that will keep your mind and your spirit separated so that you don't get that garbage that lodges in here that comes from the devil and allow it to fall into your heart. You stay in the Word, and the Word will separate those things for you. You understand what I'm saying? All right, now turn with me, please, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for just a moment. 18th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he's talking about faith. While we look not, let's read this in unison, please. 18th verse of 2 Corinthians 4. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What you can see with your natural eyes is only going to last for a short time. Your physical body is only going to last 70 or 80 years. Your spiritual body, however, which is eternal, can you see it? You can't see it. You can't see the spirit man. The truth of God lasts how long?
Forever.
Thy word, O God, is forever settled in heaven. Can you see that? You can't. It's a spiritual reality. You see, you don't see it with your physical eye. The circumstances last how long? Temporarily. What you can see with your eyes is temporary. What you cannot see physically is eternal. Paul says we are to walk. Now, what does it mean to walk according to the Bible? To live. We are to live according to what we cannot see, rather than what we do see. Now, that's a complete change from what the world says. Anybody ever heard this? I'm from Missouri, friend. I gotta see it to believe it. Well, you see, you can't be a Christian and be from Missouri. In that context. All right? Do we have any Missouri Christians here? I bet there are some there, though, aren't there? But in that context, you see, you can't be that kind of a person. Because if you expect to see it before you believe it, you'll never believe anything. Except what you can see with the physical eyes. And all the things you can see with your physical eyes, they are passing away. All those things are in the process of dying. You know, your physical body, the world, all of the things that we can see with our physical eyes, those are in the process of dying away. If you are in love with your automobile, it's in the process of dying. Don't you know that? If you're in love with your home, it's in the process of dying. If you're in love with your television set, it's in the process of dying. If you're in love with Burt Reynolds, he's in the process of passing away. If you're in love with food, it's temporary. It's in the process of passing away. If you're in love with clothing, it's in the process of passing away. It's only temporary. As a matter of fact, it's going to pass away quicker than it'll wear out, because it'll pass out of style. It's so temporary. Am I right or not?
Amen.
All right, now, if you order your life by those things, then you will truly be like a wave of the sea. You just wash this way and wash that way and wash another way. That's the way we used to be. Many Christians, unfortunately, still the same way, because they have not learned that the just, that is the people of God, the justified, that's what that means, the justified, the ones who have been justified, the ones who have been made right with God, the just are to live, walk by their faith. That means that we are to live on the basis of what we can't see, not on the basis of what we do see. All right, now let me give you an example like this. Your body, one, wakes up in the morning going, ring-a-ring-a-ring, I think is what you said, huh? Feel like you're on a merry-go-round and you're spitting your cookies and you just feel awful.
Oh, gross.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me, I stepped on somebody's location. That may seem gross, but you know, I don't know a grosser word than vomit. That's about I guess that's the accepted word, but I mean, that's a gross word as far as I'm concerned. I don't think you can say that nicely. I mean, it's a horrible kind of an experience. All right, the point is that your body wakes up one morning and it's doing whatever you call that. And it's not acting right, and it hurts. Now you have a choice. You can either live according to what you see. What you see is pain in your body, torment on the inside of you, and you see what you look like when you're doing that kind of thing, when you're in that kind of a situation. That is the scene. Now you can live by that and walk in it for the next week. Or you can look at the unseen, which is the truth of God's word, that says, Himself took my infirmities and bore my diseases. And you have it for a couple of hours, perhaps, until that thing gets manifested in your physical body. And you live by the unseen, by the word of the Lord, by the truth that He's provided. For the unseen, you see, is eternal, but the seen is temporary. Do you understand that? All right, now, let's go back down to Hebrews 11. Faith is your evidence. It's the evidence which you have until you get the manifestation of what you've been praying for. And faith is, I think we said last week, when we talked about faith it being the substance, it is a substance. It's something you can get a hold of in the realm of the Spirit. You can anchor in faith. It's not some wispy, ethereal piece of smoke that you can't get a hold of. Faith is something that you can grab hold of in the realm of the Spirit, that you can get a hold of. It has substance. And while you're waiting for that thing which you are confidently expecting, that's what hope means, while you're waiting for your confident expectation, what you hold on to, the substance of it, is your faith. Now when you get the answer, when it's manifested, then you don't need the substance anymore. You don't need the faith anymore because now you have the answer. All right? Faith is a way of life for God's people. That is the way that we are to live. Now let's look at verse 2. This is very important, this verse of Scripture. For by it, by what?
Faith.
By faith, the elders, that means the ancients of the people of God, the patriarchs and those whose stories are recorded here in the Bible, the elders obtained a good report. What was it about the lives of these men and women? Abraham, Noah, Isaac, Jacob, David, Isaiah, Samson, Gideon, Moses, Jephthah. What was it about those men? Deborah, better throw in a few women there.
Yeah.
What was it about those men and women that caused them to have a good report?
Their faith.
Well, I always thought that it was their mighty works that caused them to be well thought of by God. Mm-mm. It was not their works. It was not the miracles that Moses did down in Egypt. It was not the parting of the Red Sea. It was not David's bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. It was not Solomon's erecting the great temple. It was not that Noah built this magnificent ark. None of those things caused a good report with God. Only one thing pleased God. What was it?
Amen.
Their faith. Their faith, not their works. Not the mighty deeds they did. Purely and simply, they believed God and they trusted in Him and they lived by their faith. That's what pleased the Lord. That's what it means there. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now look with me down the sixth verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You could be the greatest man who ever lived, but without faith, you can never please God. You could do more works than anybody ever did in the name of the Lord, but without faith, it would not please God. We're going to talk some about that in the morning message today. It's important for us to see that the reason these men's names are recorded in the Bible is because they believed God, not because they parted the Red Sea. They parted the Red Sea, beloved, because they believed God. Do you see the relationship? Noah saved himself and his whole family, not because he was a good ark builder. But because he believed God. Solomon pleased God, not because he was a master builder in building the temple, but because he believed God. He had faith in God. All of God's men, the thing that pleases God is faith. Not understanding, not talent, not skill, not ability, only simple, pure faith. That's all. God said it, I believe it, and I act on it. That's what pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, said that our righteousness, our good works, is like filthy rags. Our righteousness, our good works, is like filthy rags. Paul said in the book of Philippians, fourth chapter, I believe it is. Let me find it. Philippians 4:9. 3:9. 7, 8, and 9. Let's just read those. It's an interesting Paul's attitude. Paul is reciting his credentials as a Jew. But when he's all done, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." All of my good deeds and all of my good works, he says, I count them like a pile of manure, that I might win Christ. That's the only thing that's important to me. Then verse 9, he said, "This is my desire, that I be found in him, in Christ, not in myself, that I be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." He said, I want to be found in Christ as having the righteousness that comes by believing God, not by doing great works. Now, there are several occasions that Paul uses that same expression, righteousness which is of faith. I believe in Romans, the third chapter, I believe the third or fourth chapter, he talks about that same thing. The righteousness which is not of my own works, but the righteousness which comes by faith. And as he is writing over here in Hebrews 11, he says all of these old timers, the reason that they had a good report of God, the reason that God had their lives recorded in his word, why did God choose these men to record their lives? Not because of their works, not because of their work, but because of their faith, just purely their faith. God said it, I believe it, and I'm going to live according to it. That's what typified these men's lives. All right, let's go back up now to the third verse. Hebrews 11 again. Through faith, in other words, by simple childlike believing, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. How do you know that that happened that way? By what? By faith. We believe it. God said it, he spoke it, he said, this is the way I did it. I created the earth by my word. I created it out of nothing. There wasn't anything there. I spoke my word, and the earth was created. Through faith, that's how we understand it, that it happened. We believe that. We just believe it. But Vic, it doesn't make any sense. Praise God, it doesn't make any sense. If it did make any sense, it wouldn't be right. If it made any sense, there wouldn't be any faith to it. You see that? I remember when I was just starting my career, and I was a young office equipment salesman, and in my office I had a manager who was a professing Christian but was not a believer. And we had also in that office, the office manager was a Catholic lady. And as I look back on that now, I don't believe she was saved either. But our boss used to ridicule her because she took things on simple faith. And I remember his statements from time to time saying, I don't understand her. She's like a child. She just believes it. Now, she believed it because the church said so, not because she had the Spirit of the Lord on the, you understand the difference. But from time to time, those words have come back to me, the words that he spoke concerning her. And I thought, praise God for the simple faith. Simple faith. Not because you have to understand it, you just believe it. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, what we can see came from something which did not previously appear. That is Paul's way of saying that God took nothing and made everything that we see. All right? Verse number 4, and now he begins to identify some of these saints. Now you listen carefully. By faith Abel, who was Abel? Cain's brother. Adam's son. He was the second born. Cain first, then Abel. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. What does it mean by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain? Who remembers the story of Cain and Abel and what happened to them? Gene?
Cain offered a sacrifice and God accepted.
What was his sacrifice?
Fruit of the ground.
Fruit of the ground, all right? Vegetables and so on, things that he had grown, all right? And God did not accept that, all right? And what did Abel offer? All right, he offered a blood sacrifice, didn't he? God accept that one? All right, now, why did Abel offer a blood sacrifice, an animal sacrifice? Because God said to. Because God said to. But Cain said, well, it's more convenient, it's simpler, I've got the stuff here that I've grown, that'll be a good offering to God. But Abel had heard the word of the Lord. God said, I want a blood sacrifice. I want an animal sacrifice. Abel said, well, I don't understand it, but it doesn't make any sense. I believe that that's what he wants, and so that's what I'm going to bring him. Cain said, yeah, I heard that, but that doesn't make any sense at all. You know, why kill an innocent animal? Why go through all of that? I've got some corn here and some apples and so on, and I sprung that as an offering. You know what happened? God accepted the offering that came according to his word. God accepted the offering that Abel brought. By faith, Abel brought that offering. It didn't make any sense. But by faith, Abel brought it. And by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Why was Abel righteous? Because he followed the word of God, but more specifically than that.
Yeah.
He was obedient. What is it?
Faith.
It was by faith. He was made righteous by his faith. God said, if you'll believe what I said and act accordingly, live on it, I will declare you righteous. You remember the story of Abraham. If you'll just turn with me a minute back to Romans, the fourth chapter. It's recorded in Genesis also, but we're closer here in Romans. Romans chapter 4. Where Paul is talking about Abraham, and he's talking about faith versus deeds, or faith versus works. Verse 2, Romans 4, 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, he would take pride in himself. But what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if a man is pleasing God because of his good works, then God owes it to him. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and his faith, God said, if you'll believe me, I will count you as righteous. If you will believe what I said, I won't impute your sin against you. Now let me give you the gospel for today. Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God, was sacrificed to save sin. His blood was shed, and he that believeth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do we become righteous today? By faith in what God said. God said that if we'll believe on the sacrifice of Jesus, that our sins would be washed away, that we'd be converted. But Pastor, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's really kind of dumb. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to make sense. Faith doesn't make any sense. Faith is believing the unsensible. And so Abraham, you see, God's plan for salvation was always the same. Faith in what he said. It was the same for Adam. Adam failed. It was the same for Abel and Cain. Cain failed. Abel made it. It was the same for Noah and all of those that were of Noah's day. It was the same for Abraham. It's the same for us. What did God say? Do you believe it? Will you put your confidence and your trust in it? If you will, God says, I declare you righteous. Paul?
Isaiah 55:8-9 has always meant a lot to me on setting that question.
Man's ways are not God's?
Yeah.
Yeah, his ways are higher than ours. We don't understand them. Yeah, amen. Amen. Okay, so Abel was acceptable in his sacrifice to God, not because it was a blood sacrifice, but because it was out of faith. Now, it was a blood sacrifice, and that's what God had commanded, but it wasn't the act of making the blood sacrifice. It was his believing what God said, and his faith proceeded in his works. The book of James says that faith without works is dead. And faith without corresponding actions is dead. And the offering of a blood sacrifice was the outflow of Abel's faith. It was evidence that he really did believe what he said he did. He was acting according to his believing. And so it's not the sacrifice, you see, that made him acceptable with God. It's his faith. By faith, Abel offered. That's important. All right? And he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. In other words, Abel, even though he's dead, he's been dead for thousands of years, he is still speaking because of his faith. His example, the example of his life, the issue of the fruit of his life is still talking to us today, is what Paul said. He's still talking to us today. Now, verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated. Who remembers the story of Enoch? Steve, tell us about Enoch.
He praised God and God translated.
All right, what's that mean, translated?
He was called up.
He what?
He didn't say death.
He did not die. He did not die a physical death. Now, don't realize this. We see Enoch's life, and we see that the scripture says it was said of Enoch that he pleased God. He walked and pleased God. We think, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? But you know, Enoch lived over 300 years. He pleased God for a long time before God took him. See, it wasn't something he pleased God for a few weeks and then God took him out. And Enoch is a type of the rapture. He's a shadow. A foreshadowing of the rapture of God's people. For over 300 years, Enoch lived a life that was pleasing to God. Now, why did Enoch please God? By his faith. By God spoke, Enoch said, oh, yeah, okay. You know, he just believed what God said. And by his faith, he pleased God. It was not the works of Enoch. I cannot overemphasize this. It was not his works. It was not his deeds. But it was his simple faith. He believed God, and by that faith, he was translated. God said, come on, come on. And Enoch didn't say, but Lord, there's no way. He said, okay, let's go. Because he had learned to live a life of faith. And when God said, come on, I want to take you with me, Enoch was ready to go. He was walking that kind of a faith life. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. And was not found because that God had translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Let's just stop there. And, where's the basket? All right, it's coming back around. You just wait here. I noticed that we have on the first bell, we always have a substantial exodus from the class. Why is that?
Nursery.
Is it nursery?
Nursery.
Okay, I noticed we lose about a third of the class every week, all right? What I'm going to start doing is I'm going to stop on the first bell because it's distracting everybody having to get up and leave. And so I'm going to quit at the first bell. We're just going to stop there, and that'll give us a little more time, perhaps to wind up any loose ends. Okay. The basket is coming. If you haven't had the basket, please wait until you get it. Just stay and have a few minutes of fellowship. Anybody have anything they want to share about what we've discussed today, Ron?
I'm glad Mary didn't say it's impossible for a woman to have a child without a man from that ankle
pain. Amen. Amen. By faith. Mm-hmm. She said, be it so. Be it so unto thy handmaid as thou hast said. Luke, anything else? You see how unimportant the works are, but how absolutely important the faith is? And do you see how badly the church has missed it? And the church has preached and taught and exhorted and caused obligation to come upon the people of God. You must do these works, you must do this, and you must do that, and you must do something else. And if you don't do it, you're a terrible Christian. Well, I tell you, around here, it's not going to be that way. Because if you don't do it, God will provide someone else that will. See, if you won't do what God's asked you to do, then He'll send somebody else who will do it. And I'm not really concerned about that. My concern is that we as individuals and as a church believe God, because that is the way we're going to please Him. And if we're walking in faith, living in faith, then our works will proceed as an outflow of that faith. I believe that typifies our ministry, if you want to know the truth. All right, let's have prayer, and we'll give God thanks for His word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You've made it so simple for us. That it's by faith that we please You. And it's not our skills or our talents or our abilities, but it's something that we can do, that we can just decide to believe You. That we make a quality decision and a commitment to believe what You said, regardless of whether it makes any sense or not. And therefore, our Father, we do renew that pledge with You today. We renew our commitment with You today, Father, and we say we believe what You said, and we will live according to it, and we will walk in it, our Father, that we might have this same testimony that we pleased God. In Jesus' name, Lord.